This is The State of Things. I'm Frank Stacio, and we are live from the Upstage Cabaret at the Triad Stage in downtown Greensboro. Very happy to be back here again, and right now I want to welcome Jeff Tiberi back to the show. Jeff is WUNC's Greens Bureau Chief, and he's here to bring us up to date on some of the headlines in the Triad. Welcome back, Jeff. Good to have you here.
Thanks for having me. It's always great to have 100 visitors. It's usually pretty quiet up here.
And they applaud for the newsman. That's so cool.
Special. Yeah.
New city council and a new mayor, Robbie Perkins, been in office for about a month. Any headlines yet?
No headlines yet. One of the words that keeps coming up with this regime is the word charismatic, charisma. We're going to see if it has a different feel. Whether or not things get done, of course, is an entirely different story.
Will this become Charm City of the Triad, perhaps? We can move Baltimore to Greensboro. Who knows? City Council has been sworn in. How are they working together so far?
There was an initial moment of trouble over who was going to sit where during City Council meetings. They've pushed through that, which we're glad to see. They could push through that. It appears as though the first hurdle, obstacle, challenge for this group could be a rezoning issue. The story of a Trader Joe's possibly coming to Greensboro has been in the rumor mill for 9 months. There were such heated rumors at the News and Record, Greensboro News and Record, about 6 weeks ago due to the story as to whether or not the rumors had any validity. So people really care about whether or not this Trader Joe's is potentially coming to Greensboro. It appears as though it might be in the pipeline, but it's going to take rezoning a residential district to a commercial area, and the city council would have to vote on that.
Well, that's how you know you've arrived, when Trader Joe's is in your city. You know you're finally in the big leagues. But what are the issues involved, and will this become a pretty serious fight? Because zoning is obviously, it's important to people what goes into their neighborhood.
It appears as though it will be divisive. There are a lot of people that, you know, think this would be great for the city of Trader Joe's. And for those of us that live in the Triad, you've got to go to Durham or Chapel Hill to get to your nearest Trader Joe's. There are also many that do not want commercial real estate to kind of impede, in their words, on residential neighborhoods. So it'll be interesting to see what happens.
These are the real challenges to growth in any city. Let's go back to the elections, because I want to talk about George Peter Cornell. Ran for Greensboro City Council this year, also back in 2009. Been indicted on federal racketeering charges for alleged involvement in the gang called the Latin Kings. Mm-hmm. What do we know about the charges and about his political career?
Jorge Cornell came down here 9 years ago from Brooklyn. He is one of 13 that was indicted last Tuesday on federal racketeering charges, which allegedly include a robbery, arson, kidnapping, some pretty serious stuff. And incidentally enough, had he won this District 5 seat, he would have been sworn in last Tuesday, the same day he was arrested for this federal indictment. So the charges, that encompasses a lot of the charges. He ran for city council in 09 and 11. This past November, he received, I think it was about 1,500 votes. And what the Department of Justice is accusing him and the Latin Kings, the gang, of is coming down here and really putting on a public relations show, so to speak, and acting as though they are involved, caring about the community issues that perhaps are not spoken up enough about, those in the lower socioeconomic class. And the Department of Justice and some of the prosecutors in this case are saying that this is not uncommon. They've seen this in other parts of the country. So,
interesting case. You know, we're going to talk more about this in our next segment with Michael Frierson about when whole organizations are branded and how police investigations should and can proceed, the impact on the community as well as the polity. So we'll be paying attention to that story.
Good.
So last week, UNCG and North Carolina A&T cut the ribbon on a new joint school of nanoscience and nanoengineering. Tell us about that. What does that mean for this region?
It's neat. It's a $64 million school. It's taken them several years to build. It's at a property. It's called the Gateway property. And I think that organizers are hoping that eventually this could be like RTP. This could be a Research Triangle Park, a similar entity. It's 3 miles or so from here. And they're studying nanoscience, nanotechnology. They're studying essentially the molecular level of things. And nanotechnology is used in the tint on the windows in your car and some of this newer clothing that wicks sweat off of your body if you're working out. And, of course, it's also used in the chips in all of our iPhones and cell phones. they're hoping, and some of the equipment over there, it's fascinating. There's a microscope that's essentially the size of a smart car. It's a $2.5 million microscope, and it's the only one in the Southeast. And so what they're wanting to do is innovative research. They want to be able to diagnose diseases earlier, and they want to have printers, things as simple as printers, be more efficient. The hope is that this is going to attract great students. They're going to make technological and medical breakthroughs. It's going to continue attracting companies as well as dollars for more research to this area.
So it can attract companies, but then also the students who come to study can stay and develop their own spin-off industries, and they stay right here and build a business right in the area.
Already, the dean told me that they've applied, I think the students have applied for somewhere between 8 and 12 patents in the school.
Wow.
The groundbreaking was last week. The school has been going for a year, but they're really now into their new facility, which everybody said to me is going to make a big difference.
Well, so what do you look at through a $2.5 million telescope?
It's 1/1,000th of a hair, to put it in perspective.
Wow.
You're magnifying a hair by 1,000. I don't even know if that's a correct way of describing it. You're looking at the tiniest of things.
Wow. So this is it. I can see the bumper sticker now. Smart growth, think small.
Yes.
Are you ready for that?
That would work, yes.
It's very exciting. And so what's the, in terms of the collaboration between the two schools, do you know how that works?
The nanoscience program comes from UNC Greensboro. The nanoengineering program comes from North Carolina A&T, a very good engineering school. And the there's a staff of 14. So there are 7 professors from one school, 7 from the other. The dean is employed by both. He told me that he has a lot of bosses that can work for or against him and things he's trying to do. But it truly is a collaborative effort. And I think that just kind of gets to what this is, this operation of nanoscience and different people from different industries coming together. And I also think it's great for Greensboro to have two of its most prominent schools working together on this.
All right, let's take a look at the sports scene, because we know the last time we met with you, you're a big
sports guy. Yeah.
And that's always good to know. We talked about sports. Now, Wake Forest heading to Nashville, Tennessee at the end of the month to take on Mississippi State in the Music City Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
How are the Deacons going to do?
I don't know how they're going to do, because the Mississippi State comes from the SEC, and the SEC is the best conference in college football. But Wake Forest struggled last year. It's good for them to be back in a bowl game, because that's important in college football. They're there. A lot of people thought they were going to go to Shreveport, and it's a game of dominoes, this whole bowl thing. But UNC, of course, people might remember if they're football fans, went to the Music City Bowl last year, played in a very exciting double overtime game against Tennessee. So the different bowls pick, and the used to be the Meineke Car Care Bowl, I guess it's the Belk Bowl now, is endowed in Charlotte. They picked North Carolina State, and next up to pick was the Music City Bowl. They didn't want UNC again. It's rare that a bowl will take a team two consecutive years, so they're going with Wake Forest, and the Demon Deacons their fans have traveled well. That's one of the important things to look for in bowl participation. How do your fans travel? So both the bowl and Wake Forest are hoping they sell the 10,000 tickets they were allotted and get lots of fans over.
All right, here's a story I've wanted to get on for quite a while, and I know you've been excited about this too. And it is connected to Wake Forest athletics. This is the story of the little community of Pahokee, Florida, and how it is tied to the Demon Deacons.
Pahokee, Florida is a town of 7,000. It's on the south side of Lake Okeechobee, which if you've ever looked at an atlas is that big old lake kind of southeast of Orlando and Florida. And Wake Forest currently has 3 football players from Pahokee. There are 9 football players who have played in the NFL from this town of 7,000 people, and which is just remarkable in and of itself. But the thing to me that is just fascinating, and I remember this story since a former Wake Forest player, now plays the Detroit Lions, told me, and that is every early February, late January, early February, the sugarcane farmers burn the excess crop from the past year. And when they do this, because they want to burn it and they can turn the soil over and they can plant a new crop, there are thousands of rabbits that live in the thicket. And when this happens, the bunnies go jumping all over the place. And the young children know this is going to happen because they know it's about that time of year. And they go down on their bicycles, they go down on foot, and they'll either break off a piece of sugar cane or they'll just jump in the thicket. They'll jump in the fire, and they try to catch these rabbits. And they catch them, and they kill them. And the first time, the Wake Forest football coach, the head coach, went down there for a big prized recruit. He's driving with his defensive coordinator. He's sitting in the passenger seat. And they're driving along, and it's about this time of the year, and there's smoke off in the background. And they see this 7 or 8 year old on a bicycle, and he's got a kind of a fishing line over the handlebars. And there's something going down the fishing line. And the head coach, Jim Grobe, says to his defensive coordinator, he says, "What is that?" The defensive coordinator says, "Oh," he goes, "those rabbits. He's bringing them back into town, and he's going to sell them for $3. So these kids go, and they kill these rabbits, and they sell some of them for $3. They bring some of them home to feed their families through the winter. And I asked a former Pahokee native one time, I said, "So what's the deal with the rabbits?" And he looks at me, his face just lit up, and he was happy that somebody had kind of opened that door. And he just goes, "They make us all quicker."
Jeff DeBerry. Jeff, someday you're going to win a Pulitzer, yeah. And that's the story they're going to remember that you told. Jeff DeBerry, our bureau chief here in Greensboro. Just ahead, a filmmaker turns his camera on his own father to tell the story of the KKK in Greensboro, and we have the Estanza Project here live to play music. We'll meet them in a minute, but here's some of their music now as we go into a break on the State of Things from North Carolina Public Radio, a broadcast service of the University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill.